And welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Brian.
I'm Tom.
And I'm too tired to lead the intro.
Fair enough, since for us the keynote was at, what, like 3 a.m.
to 4:30 a.m.
And I've been awake. I think I had an hour's sleep since then.
Yep. I was asleep for 2 hours, and then I got up, and then I went back to sleep for another 2 hours after it. It's been quite the night.
Yeah, I've had like 3 or 4 hours before that, but
I had a bottle and a bit of high-quality spirits, so again, like, we're in great shape today, so obviously that means it's time for, well, dissecting a keynote.
Absolutely. Very keen. And the hype train is big this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super keen. I don't know what the salt is online, but I've been... That's half of what kept me up all fucking night.
I think... one of my big things, like walking away from the keynote and seeing how people are like getting really shitty about the whole lack of War Machine content, is that there is a lot of War Machine content in the pipeline.
And considering most keynotes actually had about the same amount or less,
yep,
and then was bolstered by a faction announcement,
yes,
that I feel like we actually got quite a bit. And then Riot Quest, half the time they spent talking about the Riot Quest stuff was spent talking about the War Machine side of it.
And don't forget, this is the first keynote that I actually think went for a solid hour and a half of just pure like spoiler and discussion content, which is huge. So if you think about the fact that since the last keynote, Privateer now has two full new games to talk about, plus another one that has been fleshed out, and they're still trying to build on their core like range.
War Machine.
Yes.
We've actually got like a much bigger company than what we were talking about 2-3 years ago. So you're going to have to expect that they're going to be drawing their attention a little bit differently than what you've been seeing in the past.
Yeah, like how should I put it? At the end, there's... Look, I, as well as everyone else, was disappointed that there was no Kharchev 2. I also knew that there was never going to be a Kharchev 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be everything to satisfy everyone. So, like, for instance, I can appreciate, like, problems with certain factions. Like, say, Scorn, for instance, basically didn't get anything realistically. But I also get the feeling that that's not a permanent state of affairs.
I mean, also, it's not like Scorn has been without releases. And at this point in the game, unless you are, like, and I think Trolls are probably the big exception.
Yeah.
Unless you are Trolls or Crucible Guard, and spoilers, we're going to talk about them later on,
oh, yes,
is that it's very hard to say that you've been in the desert for a long time. I mean, Scorn have made out, like, bandits from the latest batch of releases between Rhydo Quest models, and Void Archons have, like, really changed the way in which their, like, factions have played. Plus, they got a remix of DOA...
Not that
long ago, which was functionally a rewrite of a really powerful theme force.
Having seen enough of like you playing the Circle theme Secret Masters, I think that at this point, because of the fact that you've access to all the rando Rider Quest shit,
yep,
you kind of in Scorn have... I mean, you have literally the best of the Merc themes, in my opinion. I can appreciate the problems with it, but like...
Like it could be explored, but yeah, you have to accept that there are some issues with how that list works, because none of the units you want to take... our faction.
Yep.
You do have the Taskmasters to make up with that, and you do get faction beasts from minions, and all those are interesting things, and I feel like there's tools there, but no one's really unlocked it yet, so until it is, I can kind of understand the frustration.
I mean, look, Potsy, one of my old teammates, he was all in on DOA, and he literally said that repeatedly on his cast.
Yep, and I think that it, at worst, like, DOA has probably the same problems that I have with Secret Masters, in that, where it's problematic is that it's clunky. It's not the streamlined list that you possibly wanted to be at this point.
Well,
but, you know, you might not ever get to that point, and you might have to accept that that's
it's
that,
not
the way
Flame
it is.
In the Darkness.
No, it's
and
not.
It's not the other
it's
one.
Not built from the ground up as a cross-faction
yeah.
theme. Like,
well, that's fine.
But,
again,
I mean,
we'll
I mean,
it was.
I actually
yes,
disagree.
Sorry,
it is, because
yes.
you get access to cross-faction beasts.
Yes, but it wasn't released with a bunch of, like, cross-factioning pieces to
yeah.
coincide with its development. So I think that, like, with that, and I know that the Scorn salt is high at the moment, but, you know, deal with it.
I don't think that they should be salty. I think
not
they have
yeah.
a very open faction with still very useful models and
hugely.
Casters.
I mean, again, like, this
I
is
mean, just
of...
understand where people would be tired of playing Rasheth and Zol, too, so they need to explore a bit, maybe.
But
and Mac 3. I think it's fine. Like, realistically
yeah.
speaking, like, what's the next thing in the pipeline probably is either Scorn or Circle, just to round out the, like, Hordes factions. In
yep.
fact, when we saw one of the fucking most beautiful models, which is that Angel Death Buzzsaw double Reaper guy, the fucking Death Arbor.
We'll talk about in a little bit.
I'm like, I thought there was going to be Mordekaiser 2. Not going to
yep.
lie. When
yep.
I saw the brief flash, I'm like, oh, in my whiskey-addled mind.
Of all the Archon themes, that is the most ubiquitous.
Yes.
It's literally death.
Yes. I mean, we did go on about attrition, and attrition is the act of killing all of your models. The attrition, hack on.
Anyway, yeah. We're going to run through this keynote.
Incidentally, in case anyone hasn't figured, we are actually live casting for the first time
in a room.
In a room.
With approximate social distancing being applied. This is really exciting for me right now. I can almost touch Brian.
Indeed.
And Brian does not want me to touch him.
He's sitting across from Tomo right now.
I've got Chris as a spacer.
Yeah, there you go. So we're going to start with, we'll just go into keynote order. Admittedly, we've already broken keynote order technically, but if you were expecting anything else, that's going to happen so much.
Yeah.
But we shall try to maintain it first thing. So the first up is the IKRPG Requiem, which is basically a renew edition of Iron Kingdoms.
Yeah, but it's also post Henchhold.
Yes.
Which means like
there's fucking airships and shit.
Yeah, so that was cool. And there was a giant crab ass colossal in the background fighting a storm wall. So who knows what kind of stuff we're going to learn just from this RPG, because it's so far we haven't seen anything. I thought we would honestly have seen something from Henchhold Scrolls today, like them announcing the next step.
But this might be it.
Well, no, because I know why. It's because they were going to, like, they were meant to do the Henchhold narrative thing at Lock and Load.
So,
and they're in such
Rampage.
A weird spot. They're in such a weird spot regarding that incident.
Anyway, so Summer Rampage will probably, I guess, be the conclusion to the Henchhold Scrolls story.
Mm.
So the Requiem will probably be impacted by that slightly.
Yep.
But
yeah.
Iron Kingdom's Requiem sounds super cool. I'm a little sad that it's
moving away. Moving away from the old IKRPG combat settings.
It's a little same for same, honestly. It's just D&D rules over War Machine rules, but they're both combat simulators.
I find it amusing that after 20 years, given that when I first found out about like Iron Kingdoms was literally through the RPG, and I find it funny that after 20 years, we've finally come full circle and we are back to
D&D. It makes sense. It's the most accessible way. If they want newbies to find the game, defining it through D&D and Riot Quest makes a ton of sense rather than walking up to a game of War Machine and going, what the fuck is this nonsense?
Yeah, what are these steampunk doodad robots doing?
I mean, you're also getting to bed with Wizards of the Coast, which is, you know, if there's any partnerships that are happening.
Well, they're like neighbors, right?
Right, and like, so that means if there's any potential for people to work together, you're going to see some pretty cool stuff come across and maybe some new fresh eyes coming into this role-playing system. Like, nothing but excitement there for me.
It's going to be a Kickstarter. I think that's the correct way to do it, because it lets them gauge how much interest there is in IK after having been, like, dead,
and
essentially.
And printing books is a very risky endeavor.
Yeah, right now especially. So, I'm all for it. I'm probably going to back it. It really depends on what it looks like. But, I mean, it's literally a thing that I would never need a physical item for. So, if there's a digital version of the Kickstarter, it's super easy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, for my part, I was deeply amused that during the fucking keynote, they avoided saying anything related to Dungeons & Dragons and Wizards of the Coast.
They specifically said at 5e, because I'm pretty sure when I get advertised for 5e expansions, they never say Dungeons & Dragons. They always say...
They're trying to decouple
5E.
It. Yeah, you're right.
They always say they're 5e expansions, or there's a different word.
I mean,
but
it was like,
what I mean.
Yeah, and for the other thing too is the whole reason I actually really loved Iron Kingdoms, and frankly, I vaguely even got into War Machine, was the specific fact that it was designed as a demake of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep.
Like, what happens if the elves are in decline? Because it's their own fucking fault.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that they've been, like, not having enough sex and things like that. It's, like, literally they are dying because they decided to build a stairway to heaven and it blew up.
Yeah.
What happens if the dwarves shaved beards because they're working with heavy machinery in dark and damp places? Like, you know, like real coal miners did.
What happens if you don't have regular access to healing spells?
Yeah.
And what happens if
you're
fucking assholes?
Well, that's actually my favorite part of the old school IKRPG. It's like, what happens if you, as a worshipper of Menoth, try to heal a worshipper of the Devourer Worm, and Menoth catches you trying to steal his healing jizz, and going like, how about no? In fact, how about I take my hand and bitch slap you across the face so hard that this mask gets imprinted in your skull?
I also just think, like, the Arcanist magic system has always been really interesting in terms of, like, mage locks and arcane mechanica. Like, very flavorsome and unique to War Machine and Hordes, or the Iron Kingdom setting. So you now, like, and then throwing that back into, a Dungeons & Dragons sort of system, or a 5e system, gives you, like, you know, gives people who are experienced playing 5e a pretty, like, a different take on how to abuse that system.
So it'll be interesting to see how it was, because the original IK, like the original re-release of IK, was with the War Machine 2d6 system. So if you played War Machine, it was super, like, understandable.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what aspects they'll take out of that. But overall, I'm excited. I like buying role-playing books and then reading them if I never even get to play them.
I have an RPG I'm meant to be running later tonight, so yes, I can definitely appreciate that. All right, and
moving on to...
I guess we've got mini crates next. I'm not really sure how much I want to go into them, because...
There's some cool stuff in there, like...
I mean, the Fiona one, definitely.
Fiona the Black Lagoon is a model that I will absolutely be buying.
It's just the other one.
It's just one more of my goddamn collection of mini crates.
Widget Wonka was cool as hell.
My favorite is
I'm excited to see that they're expanding into their other ranges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's not just War Machine now, so I get to see... Riot Quest stuff, so those characters get alternate sculpts, which is cool, and hopefully Warcaster, because I think they could do cool cross-range stuff with that. Like, you can see a Warcaster-fied Warlock or unit member or what, or solo from War Machine, or vice versa in Warcaster, you make a War Machine-ified Warcaster model.
And nothing on anything they've done, but this definitely excites me a lot more than like the Conan the Barbarian mini crates or the Legend of the Five Ring mini crates. Like,
they almost had me with Legend of Five Rings.
The thing is, right, is I used to play that game, and the problem is like the era they picked was not the era I got into that game.
Yeah.
Because Legend of the Five Rings was basically running alongside Magic, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're basically picking from 25 years of history and they've reset it to the beginning. Like, to be fair, though, I would buy Hideo Kasada if I got the chance again.
Sure.
Because that guy's a beast.
I look at it and sometimes I go, that's one that I might consider. But, Conan ones have been cool, but I wouldn't know what they'd do with them.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, this is just RPG stuff. I mean, it's boutique models, which, I mean, I can definitely appreciate. Also, as I said, my favorite by far, of at least the concept art, was the Lady Pistol Wraith.
Lady Pistol Wraith was cool.
That one was good. I think a lot of them were really strong. I liked the Lookout pick.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the trolls they could have chosen, they chose one that already had so much character.
And they gave it a bear.
I mean,
and then they gave it more character.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my god, it's now a snowman and a bear.
This
is the greatest thing ever.
The pig lookouts, to my me, are not a great unit, but they definitely win the award for meme award.
It does hurt that they go into a game.
Yeah.
That they go into a theme list that just gives them their own ability already, and you're just like, okay, cool.
Pretty
good
much.
Good design.
Yeah. I mean, they were designed for Northkin more, but even then, still, I also
you
can appreciate...
You didn't take guns in Northkin, not like in any...
Yeah, pretty much. Like, bombers.
Like the
like,
Uchala,
yeah,
I guess.
And the fire raiders, and that's your range.
Well, and the bombers.
Yeah,
it's all, like, short range,
yes.
So then your stuff's already... It's not great.
Yeah.
Monpok, honestly, I'm not sure how much we can talk about this because
they introduced weird looking dragons.
They introduced basically like a steampunk Russian like things,
Command and Conquer was what I
I mean, look at this fucking reclamation facility is just a fucking crusher crane.
I love that there's a boombox tank.
Yeah.
Like, that thing's cool. I really like that Monpok exists. It's not a game that I don't have any time to play.
Nothing in this sold me either.
Yeah.
Look, I like the mutant stuff was cool, the Borg stuff
was
cool. I like everything they do.
I did like the 8th Dimension guys.
The 8th Dimension guys are cool. Like, everything they do for this game is cool. I just... In a realm of competing for my like tabletop gaming time, it's not grabbing me.
I don't dislike it, but it's and as you say, I like a lot of what they do, but it just doesn't do anything for me.
I will say this fucking like the master of the eight, this fucking preceptor is like rad.
Yeah, I do like
very
it.
Very cool.
It's one of the most interesting things I've seen them do.
If anyone remembers Endless Space, I think Endless Space 2, like one of the factions is basically like literally this. It's like hostile geometry from another dimension. They've come over to this one because their dimension is getting fucked up by weird things like time and space and causality. And they're just like, well, fuck all of you.
Yeah, or like the angels in Evangelion. But it's cool. It's really cool. I mean, like, I've got my side board game that Private Team makes, which is Riot Quest. And so, like, it's great. All the stuff is really cool model-wise. I'm not rushing out to buy Monpok at the moment.
I can't own it all. I already own three or four of them.
Yes. And now we have Warcasters. So, extremely predictably, I would say, we knew there was a fourth faction coming, and it was pretty heavily hinted it wasn't going to be just regular humans.
Actually, they hinted very heavily that it would be initially...
Really?
Yes.
They would say, it's all humans all the time, that's our big focus.
Or that it's going to be a very long time.
And everyone's
time
like, please not more humans.
Yeah,
all right. So I thought it was okay. Fair enough.
No, so we got the Imperium.
They're the
not Imperium. Insect
Protoss.
Imperium.
Yeah.
Imperium
with
yeah.
an N.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're it's the different.
Hard N.
Insect
sorry.
Protoss Imperium. Yes.
Yes. Or the dudes from the latest Halo games.
Yeah.
To be fair, the vehicles which they also introduced to other factions for this faction. Does look like a banshee and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
What a cool aesthetic. It's kind of like my favorite part of the combined.
It's a combined army. That's what
Infinity,
this is reminding me of.
Which are a really cool aesthetic, and they've definitely thrown the unique privateer spin on it. Like, I love the like tentacle solos and things like that. And the warjack is cool. Like, the heavy warjack is very.
I really like the light. I really like the warjacks, and I do like the spaceship, the infantry models. I feel like with the right paint job could really like shine.
Yeah.
And in a world where I'm debating like which Warcaster faction I pick up, and I was pretty heavily in on the Continuum, and I still might be after seeing the Scythe model, which was
I'm pretty
middle.
Sure like yeah.
But the Imperians are pretty spicy models.
I'm considering looking into that Kickstarter as well, just because we already have a Marchers player here. And
yeah.
I mean, we have two.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have to roll the dice on that one. I'm just like, no, I'll pay Marchers. I want
to
see.
But I think just to get the game possibly rolling, I might buy
having
a little bit of them, but we'll see what happens.
So
I'm keen. It looks good.
There's not a lot given away as to... we got a little bit of a hint as to how the Imperians work. In terms of like they're gonna be more about manipulating Arcanescence,
which we kind of see in ISA so far.
Yeah.
But they say they're doing it in a way we haven't seen before.
Yep.
So maybe we're thinking more convergency because they are in the convergence faction.
I was thinking first maybe the disruption faction, but I don't think that makes sense. I think
could also be
that's actually
or that it could be like a we take it from you and
say,
we gain it.
An Arc-theft faction could be cool.
Could be.
That would be frustrating.
Yeah.
It would be very frustrating. I like that they've gone, like, they're not married to the idea that your solos are all combat dudes. Like, so, like, here is Joe the cool guy, where you've actually got, like, you know, there's, like, the Imperian solos are much more like army support.
We have a sniper and a mechanic so far.
Yeah.
But they don't look like a dude with a sniper rifle
or
a dude with a wrench.
It's a snake with a head
and a
crab thing.
Yeah, and what appears to be like something from Halo, you know?
And there's the snake, what do you call it? The
Weaver.
The
Weaver is also a snake. It looks a lot like a Waldweird.
Yes.
But it's cool. Like, what a really cool faction. And I like that there's the sort of the tentacle aesthetic across in their heavy.
I can definitely say.
They got tentacle aesthetic over the whole faction.
Yeah.
I actually think they don't overdo it. Like, looking at the heavy, right, which is one of their artworks here, I'm just
beautiful.
Like, I fucking love this thing.
They got some zealot elite looking melee weapons.
They mash a lot of things together. Incidentally, this is a random FYI. I suspect at some point we'll just do a Warcaster cast.
Yeah,
sure.
Where you can talk about this more, but without getting into it too much,
So they've talked a little bit, so they'll do a Kickstarter for this and the vehicles. But that doesn't mean that's everything that's going to be in that Kickstarter.
No.
So that looks like they're holding some stuff back. Because, for example,
so
they have not showed us the the hero for that faction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And probably more heroes for other factions.
I remember hearing that one of the things, again, to anyone who doesn't know, Warcaster, you feel free to, tune out a bit of this. But to my knowledge, they were going to be adding faction-specific spell cards.
Yep.
That could happen in this
as well.
One.
Yeah. And I imagine that there might be a bunch of them related to vehicles. Like, they might even have, Warjack stuff that works on vehicles and things like that. Yeah.
Because this is already a lot smaller than the last one, because it's not one faction, not three, and then three unique
new models. It's also not the entire game, yes.
So, I imagine there will be more to this next Kickstarter, but this is a really nice taste of what's coming.
Or we're seeing a much more, conservative approach to releases across this entire keynote, which might also be a really good thing at the moment.
I mean, it's actually the problem right now is, literally speaking, it's quite hard to gauge how much... It's why they've leaned so heavily, at least to me, into Kickstarters, because you're in, given the fucking lockdown, it's really hard to gauge, you can't just give...
Interest.
You can't just give models to a shop and go, be free, my models, be sold to the public when...
Yeah. How mad was paying for my overheads in order to get this to you, and I really hope that you make money off it so I can sell, to recover my...
And that's if it even makes it
exactly
to those retailers, because
there's
distribution issues all over the US and globally.
Yeah,
and
shout out to Europe. Unfortunately, you guys just hit the wrong end of the stick.
Yep.
Fuck it, we have problems here.
Yep.
It took
us
almost 3 months to get Fiora 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's just a global distribution problem at the moment.
It's a global distribution problem. It's COVID-19, and it's the fact that they've been on like major lockdown in their business for the last 3 to 4 months.
And that major lockdown also came off the back of them restructuring their entire like
from
setup,
the move.
From the move, so
they
like,
really
it's
had trouble
gonna,
catching a break.
they exactly right. So there's part of me that feels bad, and like on that core Kickstarter side of things, I wouldn't have been surprised if we would have seen like Kickstartering into War Machine, and it's a lot. Is that we've now got Anastasia's knives called pistol called knives, and we've also got Striker's shield called fist.
Love it.
But it's cool. Like the sculpt is actually really cool. And that brings us to our sort of much maligned part of the podcast, which is where Privateer obviously neglects War Machine like wholly and truthfully.
I mean, technically speaking, you're right. There are no releases for War Machine. Hordes, on the other hand, get
there
a buttload of stuff.
No, fuck,
there are no releases for War Machine, Brian.
What do you think a fucking Death Archon is, Chris?
I mean, it's
a Merc minion model, Chris.
We're not
What's
there yet,
Merc,
Brian.
Chris? What's a Merc, Chris?
It's a Merc is how where you go and you play two lists and you take all of your Riot Quest models and you put them on the table and you have like Rahero run the show because there's no currently a Riot Quest Merc. By the way, Privateer Press, you're going to have to fix that at some point.
Yeah. But so Privateer sort of leaned out with what's coming in down the pipeline next week for Legion of Everblight, which is there was some edgy voiceovers, and then we learned that Everblight is like cooking up his own ladies now. Which is
it's
where we get the virtue host.
Yes, virtues. The virtue of ass kicking, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to. So, first things first, the Legion CID is two funny things with it. One is they're basically redoing a good chunk of the faction. If I'm just going to say all the faction, but it's probably like.
They said they were going to be rebalancing models. For, like,
and it wasn't a.
What do they call it? Legacy? It's not
Legacy. Yeah,
Legacy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Legacy.
No, they're going to consider redoing Legacy.
Yeah, and
models.
It was like. Children
all
the
Nist stuff, right?
Basically everything in Children of the Dragon, and also like a shit ton of the Beasts, which I'm not exactly looking forward to because it means I'll actually have to play Legion again, and they're probably going to be hilarious. The second thing is that because of the pandemic and them not wanting to really force people to use Vassal and other third-party products, this is a CID with no battle reports, which is going to be, I think...
Theory machine!
It's going to be tricky to balance off.
It's going to be hilarious. Let's not be...
Dojo!
I mean, look, it's... Yeah, I suspect this is basically going to be Privateer Press opens up the CID forums and then... has like a year, like, you know, a week long shouting match, releases some changes, keeps it open like, you know, someone open aerating dirty air and then closes it and then, you know.
I think what we'll actually see is, just while the pandemic is going on, is a shift to model releases being functionally the beta and changes quickly if need be. And they've always been good at that, like by and large. Like the things that have been like really broken the game, like Una 2, she actually got like fixed before
I actually go through this is like realistically speaking, the turnaround time for a broken model is 4 months. Like, and I mean, like a properly broken archetype. Like, that was about how long Mad Dogs lasted. It's actually how long Una lasted herself.
Yeah, she was
and
just
that
a pre-release
feel,
model for a long time.
Just guess what? That's going to feel like a long time for everyone, and it kind of in the functional scheme of things isn't.
No.
But yeah, the I'm curious how they'll change. I'm curious about these virtual hosts because to me, they don't seem like. I feel like they're going to be a new kind of unit, and I don't mean...
Yeah, so that, let's say, like, the Virtues, the things that it's named after, are a three-man unit.
Yeah, they're a three-man unit. I don't think they're going to be like Clockwork Angels, where it's a small base three-man unit, single unit. I think this is more going to be, like, a medium or large base unit of, like, 10/15 wound guys, who are all, like, so ass-kick a lot.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, what would make them really cool before, and, like, we're given hints as to, like, sort of their purpose... you know, it was indicated that each model was meant to be able to rip through a whole unit themselves. So, I mean, the easy call there is they're going to have killing spree, grievous wounds. But I'll be interested to see what the survival mechanics are because they are sort of, you know, you're very well and delicately considered women running around in bikinis, and what that how that translates to like functional gameplay defensive wise. So I would be interested to see if they go down the Chris route of. Decent armor and lots of boxes, or if we see something like a unit that actually has like Ancient Shroud but with three wounds or something like that.
That would be rather tilting. Yeah.
It would be very tilting, but it, you know, maybe not entirely unbroken, unless you had the ability to heal them throughout the game.
Yeah.
Then it would be excessively tilting.
I mean, they're not in Grimkin, thankfully.
Yes,
so.
Thank...
It's not like Legion hasn't had models that could heal themselves.
That's true.
Tough knockdown.
Yes.
That actually...
Or was it just tough?
Well, no. Tough knockdown and rapid healing, yeah. Specifically the Chosen.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like that's new to the faction.
No.
Yeah, I guess that's also a thing, too, is like if they're bricky and tanky, then they also have Blightbringers and the potato to give it extra armor and strength.
Sweet
potato
of doom.
Yes, the Blight potato.
So then we've already seen the Archon.
So the Blight Archon is... I remember them saying buts about this, and we might as well soapbox this for a bit. So the Blight Archon is effectively a lesser warlock, like an 8-point lesser warlock, which if it wasn't for a certain release, I'd say never going to see. It's going to be like, I mean, it's going to be shit. There's no beast worth putting on it. It's going to be so expensive. It's going to be full of, like, you know, theft. And then they released the Mechana Shredder. I'm like, okay, you're probably going to see this guy with, like, at least one mech shredder showing up pretty frequently. Possibly more, and possibly given what they also announced in the CID, it's entirely, like, if you're taking this guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if this guy shows up in basically all the Legion lists, like, as in he'll be added as a theme choice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a guy, probably.
I'm pretty sure it's a girl.
It's
a girl.
It's almost always
I mean,
girl.
It's probably a girl. Everblight knows what he wants.
I did not know that it was meant to be a partially lesser warlock. That's cool.
That's
news.
So it's like a leader. It's like basically it casts spells. It does things like that. If you're taking Ravens of War, you don't necessarily just take the Mechana Shredder. You can also take like the free card Harriers.
War Beast,
and use that instead. Because I mean, it might give huge ass buffs. So you might put a real heavy on
Again, it's like another. It's another time for them to develop another Ghastly 4 or Nemo 3.
It also means they're not pigeonholing the Archons into being like this particular brand of obnoxious.
Like the fight Archon and the other fight Archon.
Yeah, and
they have a support Archon, so now we're going to maybe see a spellcasting Archon.
Which is cool. Like, really cool idea.
This one's going to be, I mean...
And this is a knight, and as it aligns with Archons, Archons are usually just better at whatever they do than everything else, so the best way to make a good spellcaster is to give them fury.
Yes.
I mean, this is like a beast. What was it, like a beast mistress, except all grown up and
can take heavies and
take heavies and stuff. And we're gonna see some interesting shit.
They'll be able to watch this space, and we'll probably have a tilt cast
speaking
next week.
Warcasters.
Yeah, actually, you know what? You want guys want to do a cast with the guy in this? Like, I'm not sure. I want to do a CNA cast or go to one.
Well, anyway,
whatever.
We'll continue.
Yeah,
we're
right,
talking about
out.
Bethane.
Yeah.
She'll be talked about.
She's
next
a high.
Time.
She's a high.
So
risk.
if the
yeah.
If the Blightbringer is the sweet potato of doom, then she is definitely the chipolata of doom.
I don't know what that is.
It's a small sausage.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I was just going to say a zucchini.
Yeah. So I have some thoughts, some kind, some not, about the sculpt, but it's cool that they are giving this
branching
model,
out.
Yeah, giving this model a bit more of a... or this character a bit more like depth and time.
I kind of like that they're leaning a bit more into the fucked up aspect.
I like how they went with the virtues, which are like nicely sculpted, beautiful women. And they're
like this
you know what Bethane needs?
She needs to be Baron von Underbite.
Well, I mean, I think this is more of a case of like, how did you end up making such perfect things? And then this is where you shamefully reveal like the one. It's like we have a unit, like you have like a nicely painted army. You reveal the one playtest model that has 20 coats of paint on it. And is like molded and warped features from all the times being dunked in Dettol or brake fluid.
It's a beautiful sculpt, but it's hideous.
Yes.
Like it's well sculpted. It's doing exactly what it's intended to do, which is create a horrible, ugly monster.
Be ugly as a beast.
But it's well sculpted.
Oh,
whoever
absolutely.
Did it is incredibly talented.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's
being horrifying.
Yeah, it's sort of exemplified. Like, I've never been big on the Legion aesthetic, so it's like this wasn't drawing me any further
into
that
much
faction.
It's much more Blightbringer than anything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which again is a nice model.
It also means that they're like that faction is not married to one aesthetic.
Yes,
it's not just
it's
the angels. It's not just the ogre. And it's a whole range of things, which is
good, so
because it's literally about
a god
that can mold flesh as it desires.
Yeah. I guess at this point we could probably speculate a little. Do you think there's going to be a new theme force for Virtues? I get the feeling.
Yes, 100%.
There's the Virtue Host. I thought that was
I thought they,
they
said
it
was.
Well, then never mind.
It's like Squeal Host.
Yeah.
Or Squeal Company, which is like Rage of Dunya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it'll be called the Virtue Host or something silly because no one's going to actually remember the name.
Vengeance
which,
of Dunia. Which, vengeance for.
Which is good because I'm.
Are they
going to
have vengeance as a theme benefit?
I mean, why not? They'll automatically make trolls happy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what they get to take. Oh, my sluggers have vengeance.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if like virtues will show up in other ones too, or like what will. If they are in their theme force, like what shows up alongside them.
We could very well be seeing like a way to sort of buff up ravens or oracles. Not that those necessarily need heaps of work, but like one or two.
Helping the beast do
one
that.
One or two
inclusions.
And
helping
and
the legacy
the
models
be,
will do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like making Nyss archers good, making Nyss swordsmen good, making
Legionnaires
good. Like that'll just make those themes more playable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
might
not get taken a whole lot more, but people will at least look at them make something out of it.
I think the big one is the War Beast buffs, because that's always been one of Legion's strengths back in the day, and now their sad weakness. Like, you look at a Scythian and you just go,
why? Why are you like this?
You mean, it's funny when you die to a Scythian, because, like, that's literally his one job.
Does that happen to you, Chris? Oh, no, you didn't die to a Scythian.
I know, I died to Thagrosh.
You died to Thagrosh.
Because of the fucking Mechanus Shredder, hence
yes,
why I'm tilted
did.
About that thing.
Yes, you did.
Incidentally, Mechanus Shredder, for all the boys and girls out there, it can cast as Animus on anything. That includes these fucking
virtues. That's old school.
Yeah, it is old school. And you know what is great? I just thought it was War Beast. It is not.
No.
So you can cast on Blight Archons, you can cast on these Virtues, you can cast on Ogre Mans. Like, the fact that the Blight Archon plus Mechanus Shredder package exists makes me think that you're going to see that slotted into a lot more Legion lists.
It's a very good baseline package for your Warcaster.
Correct. And again, it's like, it doesn't necessarily, like, it's not like you really, the problem with like lesser Warlocks in general is that you obviously don't have them in the battle group, which means you get list complications. That's why Nemo 4 isn't that great, right? As like a thing, it's just because like what he demands is so much that's not in your Warcaster's battle group.
Yep.
And the Blight Archon taking lessers, especially if the lessers are functional, is a very different like kettle of fish. Because you don't really care if you don't have a Mechanus Shredder with, like, Abbey 2's battle group, right? Because that doesn't... You don't need Alpha Hunter on a fucking Mechanus Shredder so they can go, like, kick some ass.
Yeah.
You're kind of happy if the Blood Archon does it. But we're going to see how that goes. I suppose next week there's going to be a whole lot of tears and rage and hilarity, and maybe we can get Jack to stop playing Menoth, which is probably just a win for everyone.
But if Jack stops playing Menoth, it means that there is something even worse than Menoth that exists in the game.
I don't know. Because
wants to like Legion so hard.
He does. He's abused by that. And to be fair, I think... Look,
his first girlfriend.
It kind of is, yeah. Anyway, how are we on to trolls? Speaking of people getting abused all the time. All
right, Brian, where's your assignment level right now, buddy?
It's hard to say. I'd like to know more about Gunnbjorn, because I'm a little surprised he wasn't, you know, like, in a tank or something, honestly speaking.
Yep.
And then they, like, took away his, like, most iconic piece, which is, like,
his rocket launcher.
Bazooka, and gave him kind of, like, this weird square, like, it looks like a giant pig iron.
It looks like a... I mean, it looks like...
Actually, you know what it is?
It's an express team gun with a revolving express team gun.
Yep.
Which is a pretty cool gun, but it's still not like that.
I mean, if my caster had a double shot thunderbolting Grievous Wounds gun, like I'd be happy. Or Grievous Wounds gun, I'd be pretty happy with that. But I think based on what we're looking at, it sort of looks... I mean, obviously we're trying to follow a troll trencher aesthetic. Which means we could be seeing a lot more battle plans being utilized.
Yeah. I have a feeling that
Gunny might be a support guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he always was, though. That was always his role.
Well,
Gunny he had one good gun, but like most of the time he was sitting back and
slapping a rock
wall
down, casting
guidefire
and sniping, shooting people.
I have a feeling that Gunny 2 will be more infantry focused, because Gunny 1 is definitely more warbeast focused with a little bit of
especially with the theme coming out being a
So about that theme, my gut feeling for how the theme's gonna work is it's gonna be Trollkin guys with guns and Pharaoh, probably also with guns.
So we're just getting fucking Creel Company again. So
no pigs. It would specifically not have pigs. Because
that's Chris's hot take.
That's
and
my hot take.
That's shit. That's still not interesting.
It's going to take a lot of polishing to make this.
There better be fucking legacy fixes in this.
I mean, how should I put it? Given they literally did like they're doing 9 War Beast fixes in the Legion 1.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like that's what's going to happen. But right now, what you're telling me is we're getting pigs in Creel Company, which I mean is what we were guessing the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's really underwhelming because Creel Company is fucking like sack of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a little strong. It's not really. Yeah. But it's like, oh, whatever.
I mean, the problem is with Cruel Company is it doesn't come together as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's got good models.
Adding pigs doesn't fix it.
Well, sure, but in adding Pig Warbeast kind of does. Like, I fucking think Gunny One would love, like, some fucking Roadhogs,
okay,
for
so
instance.
There's also problems with that theory. So, like, I understand. Like, with Scorn, it makes sense because Scorn's all about, like, putting your will over the will of others. That's why they can take minion warbeasts.
Yeah.
Because it's about them enslaving.
But when
trolls only can have warbeasts because they're genetically related. That is literally the fluff reason why.
Huh, that's a
so
good...
making it so that they can take pig beasts is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Unless trolls are getting freaky with some pigs in the Iron Kingdom. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, I don't think they'll go with that. They'll go with faction... friendly pig models, but they won't be able to cross beasts.
I'll be very keen to see, and I'll be very keen to see which casts.
Because it feels like pigs have the exact same reason why they can have pig beasts.
Yeah.
Is because they're genetically related.
I mean,
unless Dunia casts some weird magic bullshit,
yeah,
which I mean, her archons are around.
Can we be friends?
Well, that's actually a thing. It's like, apparently, it's what, like, religious, like, basically, the Dunia worshippers with guns. So,
yeah,
there's probably, this thing will probably main deck the Dunia archon. So,
yeah,
automatically, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, but we've seen themes that main deck that Archon and Trolls is still not interesting.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, the problem with Trolls is, like, the only thing that has it written on in their main that they don't have to splash it with a Merc slot is literally their Power of Dunia theme, which is arguably their worst thing to me.
I will be very interested to see if what was spoiled in the keynote is all that comes for this theme force, because if it is, it looks like we're seeing, the next few CIDs being a shift towards smaller releases and bigger legacy fixes.
Yeah.
And if that's the case,
that's good, if
that's what they're doing, then my hat's off to PP. I think that they're actively fighting against one of the biggest problems that War Machine and Hordes has as a game, which is bloat, while still keeping things evolving and growing.
I actually think the reason why as well is because when you think about it, you've got a bunch of releases from Riot Quest. Like, for instance, like, take the Legion. Like, this Legion CID was about to happen has one of the Riot Quest models just slotted in there as well, who's the Nyss, like, ice,
which makes it maybe one of the most balanced Riot Quest models that'll come out.
Possibly.
Or she will be absolutely broken or absolute trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incidentally, one of my favorite things of this, the fucking troll barrage team.
Oh, they're
which,
so cool.
They're really cool. They're like warriors with guns. That's what that's the feeling.
They're warriors with rocket
bazookas. I'm not saying
bazookas.
They'll have that. I'm not saying that they'll have the same rules or they'll have the same, like, aesthetic sense. I feel they gave me the same feeling when I saw
them.
Warriors, when I first saw them, when the book came out and everyone was super keen, I was like, that's a really cool thing. That's kind of new for trolls, but fits the setting. And that's what that feels like.
Yeah.
That feels like a unit of Gunbjorns. Right,
I'm all for that.
I get the feeling. I mean, I think that's something Cruel Company actually needs, because the problem is, like, so you've got, like, the Tonks and you've got, like, Lead-Footed Treads. You don't really have anything worth dragging around, and you don't really have, apart from the tanks themselves, you don't have anything that's actually worth holding ground. And a lot of the Trollkin gun units just aren't that great. Like, you don't have anything to stand in front of the Bushwhackers, and then you're also taking Bushwhackers, and you can't win a game with. With just Book Ashley, no matter how many buffs you put on them.
Yeah.
The problem with when you have a gun theme is your gun theme never wants to get engaged, Chris, and those models don't look like they want to get engaged.
Well,
probably.
We don't know what the rest of the theme... And I mean, if we're talking about, like, units that don't want to be engaged, if brigands are in there, then you've automatically got a unit that has that is okay at digging itself out.
Yeah.
That's not false. That is correct. I agree with that. But he was using them as this example of the model that stand in front of your pig units.
Oh, no.
And I'm
that's not
the role of
this
the
giant
guys.
This is the unit
of
pig units stand in front of.
Yeah,
I don't
much.
Know. They are trolls. I could see them using them grenade rocket launchers at point-blank range. Like,
yeah.
I can
agree. Like, who knows what the design space is for these models, but when I look at guns, especially that type, that's not what I see.
So, yeah, that's a curious one. I think you're right, Tom. It's like, from going forward, any main faction release is going to be like, what is this? This is actually just four plus the sapper guy, and then
three plus the sapper.
No, it's a sapper unit.
It's a sapper unit.
I thought it was a solo.
Okay.
The sapper's a solo from my understanding. But it's the unit, it's the
you're right.
It's colonel guy, and it's Gunbjorn for trolls, and then it's the sapper
You have
for the
mini Gunbjorn.
And for Legion, it's basically Bethane, the Blight Archon,
and
two Virtues, right? And then again, like, I think you're right. It's like any of the main deck War Machine factions, you're probably looking at CID for new models. Because they could supplement it by Riot Quest.
Yeah.
I mean, if the pig tanks weren't Riot Quest models, they probably wouldn't show up here and, you know, like, that sort of thing.
But I think that...
Then anything probably towards any of the legacy, like the, not legacy, the...
limited factions.
Are probably going to be a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'll get to that. We're still in trolls.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious to see what they do to differentiate this theme
from Creel Company.
From Creel Company and from the pig theme.
I mean, yeah, that's true, actually.
Because, like, yeah. Pigs have, like, how many units? So if they all go into this theme, like, what makes this theme and that theme different? Like, what just automatically does... I mean, people aren't playing the pig theme right now anyway, but, like, what makes it not the automatic replacement for both these other things?
Unless this is going to be a way to tidy up the amount of themes in factions, and you blend Thornfall into Woolworth Creel Company. And you turn Creel Company into whatever this is.
I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that if they're doing the CID, I wouldn't be surprised if pigs get touched on as well.
If Thornfall gets a
look at it. Yeah, like, and I could, like, for instance, like, I mean, if it's guns, right? Like, the only pig unit that doesn't have guns are slaughterhouses. And if you have to leave your slaughterhouses at home,
Oh no.
I feel like Legion needs a lot of fixes, but I feel like pigs and trolls getting a combined theme brings a lot more questions to the table than the Legion theme.
Yeah. I mean,
Legion's like, we're fixing this, and Trolls is like, what are you going to do to this theme that isn't already in the game?
And my big concern, and this is just a personal thing, is that a lot of the media that's been put out about Trolls and where they're sitting at from PP has been a little bit reticent to listen to community support sometimes. Yeah. So I'll be very interested to see how
if
much...
If it goes into CID, that
they're going
to
have
change.
To. Yeah. But I'll be interested to see how much pushback there is from initial design to where Trolls need to wind up at.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't listened to that particular...
Yeah, it's like, I mean, hats off to them. You're going to have
absolutely.
To... You kind of can't just go like, nah, we also think Trolls are shit and also you're shit for playing them, right?
Yeah.
Like, they can't exactly say that.
No.
But I think... a couple of the releases are probably going to end up buffing the melee side of Trolls, which I think is what people like more anyway. End of the day, people like bears and people like murder.
We'll talk about bears
later. We're going to talk about bears later.
Some bears that murder,
okay,
some bears
we'll
that
leave,
have been
we'll
murdered.
We'll leave Trolls for now. We'll all be
right.
back. Trust
so we basically have, well, you know, because Blizzard hasn't been doing too well with a bunch of cock-ups, they decided to release
a miniature.
Yep. And
it is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
This the fucking,
I'll take two
all in,
the fucking Edgelord Archon, the Death Archon.
So it's my Archon?
Yeah,
it's
weirdly enough, in a release that had the Edgelord faction Archon, this guy is still the Edgelord Archon.
Oh, come on. It's like the most basic of like Edgelord things you could pop.
It's the Grim Reaper, but now he comes with two sides.
Yeah, more Edgelord.
Yeah, I mean, look.
He's got skulls.
He's got one side
he
for War Machine factions and one side for Hordes factions.
Oh, man, you should do that.
Yeah.
You paint it green and red or green and blue or something.
Oh, yes.
But they're still doing, like, so we've seen it with this model, we'll see it with the next model, and we've seen it with the Blight Archon. They're doing some really fucking weird wings for these, like, Hordes ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like, they're all the wings up to this point with feathers and stuff have been great. Like, they all look really nice.
Yeah.
But the bat wings are fucked.
Yeah, I don't really like the Blight Archon's wings, for instance. I fucking love the Archon wings of the next one. This one being a render, can't really say, but it looks
it's not even a render, it's a still image.
I'm sorry, still image, yeah.
One of the things that, and this is the same thing that works with fire in sculpting, and it's a little bit of a trick, is that doing what works in the real world and physical practicality on the sculpt does not necessarily translate well to the aesthetic of the model, which is what they're going for with the Blight Archon, right? Is the way the wings are curved, are sort of like concaved, towards is basically that it's catching the wind so it's landing, but that looks a bit silly on a sculpt. And I think that you have to be very careful with like bat type wings to prevent them from looking a bit dopey and a bit and a bit weird. And whilst like the aesthetic of this is awesome, and if it's resin, like, you know, either one of two things, it's just gonna be able to be bent that way because of rubbery resin, or you just take a hairdryer to it and you bend it to the way that you want it
to. But see, the way they sculpt the wings, even if they're trying to do the bend, the way that these wings seem to be designed is they don't have like the long tips that kind of give it like that aerodynamic. They're just kind of like rounded and curled, which makes them feel really stubby.
Yes.
So like there feels like there should be like the last finger
should be longer.
Should be much longer, and then there maybe even should be another one that's even longer, like to really extend them. Because like they don't do it with the feathered wings. The feathered wings all come to that nice tapered point. And even if that's not correct, it looks way nicer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like And I love this because it still looks like super dope and badass. And even with like weird skull wings that look like he probably can't fly with them anyway.
But he has no feet, so he's probably floating regardless. Yeah. Like these wings are for style points only. It's like it's like a spoiler in a 1998 like Hyundai XL. Like you don't need it because it's never been fast enough to need it. But
it's definitely not it's definitely not an XL, right?
Yeah,
like, you take that back. Right? This is like a fucking spoiler on a Lambo, like kind of thing. It is where you pick the most impractical spoiler that probably makes the car look worse.
Yeah.
But you realize you still put on a sports car.
Actually, I've got a better. It's like drawing lightning bolts on your sneakers so you can get to your murders faster.
Of all the Archons, this is the most basic concept.
But it's so cool. It's a proven concept.
That's not what I mean.
Great.
That's not what I mean. So you have Voy, which only applies to some factions.
Yeah.
And you have Dunion, which only applies to some, and Prime, which only applies to some, and Thonar and Mara. This is death. This applies to literally everyone.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work for like every faction, then I'm just confused.
I would be amused if it does. If the only faction doesn't work for is Crits because they're undead.
Yeah, the undead.
But I want to see if this is A, partisan to anything, and B, what happens when you feed on it with Lord Azar. What's his
name? Azazel.
Axar. Azazel.
This is just more reasons to buy into minions.
Colin was like, oh man, they're going to be like 10 Archon lists. I'm like, look at that. Like, I don't see a problem with this. Like, 10 Archons and 3 Valkyries, call it a day.
I got even more excited by the fact that we now have an alt sculpt Flugwug, which Moops pointed out. So if you get all these 10 Archons in your list, you're combining all the elements to summon Captain Flugwug.
Captain Flugwug, the hero we need.
It's cool. And the other thing too is that like a Death Archon doesn't have necessarily a place because the Archons are meant to be summoned by gods.
Because they don't know where Void comes from. Just like manifestations of like
divine
fucking shit.
But this guy could be a really cool opening to a new element of the fluff.
And
he could literally work for the Infernals because he's like,
yeah.
Or you need more souls, I'll help.
Yep.
You know, or you could have the elf court are now just sort of like void walk, like walker people who need to go out and kill things and things like that. Like you got a whole range of things, like a whole range of areas of things in the fluff that could be.
Again,
this guy
feels like he can work for anyone.
Absolutely. He
is the most ubiquitous concept you can come up with.
Basically,
he also doesn't need to be tied to any factions because, like if death is just showing up too quick,
I actually would be.
Doesn't need to be.
You know what? It's curious. Maybe he is not faction to anything. That'd be funny. Like
he is minion merch.
No. But like literally was just like doesn't count as a friendly faction model to anything.
Can be put into any list.
But it's just like you could design a model then that cannot take any buffs whatsoever that a faction on any faction, right? And then you can make him just being a badass, right? Like he'd just be like a self-contained badass dude.
It feels like most of the Archons should have had that rule.
Yeah, I think so. Like
they're mercs, they shouldn't like, and minions doesn't mean they should fucking get.
It kind of annoys me with say the Menoth Archon playing in Kador. It's like functionally speaking that you don't have that model, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just like you have it in one theme, obviously the Menoth theme.
Yeah.
But you're thinking about this and you're just like, it's just not as good. It doesn't fit the list. It doesn't take a counteract. The fact that I'm taking it out of faction.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you got this idiot with like his double size and it's just like, I don't work for anyone because I'm a free fucking agent of like carnage and death.
And edginess.
Edgelord.
And someone's going to paint this up like Reaper from Overwatch.
There's nothing wrong with that.
They're going to put shotguns on those sides and it's going to be great.
Fantastic.
All right, let's go to my favorite Archon because I love his wings.
Super
even
cool.
though even though they're fucked up and all things, I don't want to have faces on my wings.
It's a skin
face,
and bones.
Face on my wings, Johnson.
Yeah.
So we got the, we finally get to see the hinted at Grimkin Archon, which is a corrupted Menite Archon.
Oh my
God. I think you're pronouncing Gremlin Fondled incorrectly there, Brian.
Yeah.
You know how creepy that sounds? Because you realize those are children, right?
Yes. Like, and they broke this guy. They literally broke a manifestation of a god.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case, I love a lot of the details on this one. Because like a lot of Grimkin models, it's oozing with flavor. So its face is a mask of heretic.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that mask.
Yep.
It's got upside down. Apparently, it's got upside down meta fixes.
Because edgy.
Well,
it's literally stabbing you. It's stabbing
also
you with
like a super commonly known satanic symbol.
Yeah, I'm sure he also spends a lot of his time like using that spear to draw pentagrams on the ground and things like that.
All his bad poetry.
Yeah, it's bad poetry.
So he's got a spear with a book at the end where he stabs people with the spear and then reads to them from this heretical book, which is obviously his bad poetry.
Yes. But his wings are very similar to like the skin and bones flesh, where they're sort of tortured souls that are stitched together.
It's like the faces of people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stitched over like...
The faces of his critics.
Critics, yeah.
You criticize his poetry, just like, well, I mean, here you go.
Do they say anything about what he does, other than, like,
not really. Like, okay. Implied it was the opposite of a Medite Archon, so, I mean,
So he doesn't kill things?
Yeah.
Or either that
or he's not good? Like... That seems... I mean, look, he's a Grimkin model, so what's going to happen is he's going to have, like, four more rules than he needs, and they're going to have funny names.
And they're all going
to
be broken.
And they're going to be busted.
I'm super looking forward to this guy.
It will be cool.
These are the coolest markers.
I actually think it's one thing Grimkin... I mean, Grimkin players being, you know, the great people that they are, have been complaining for a while, like, that now they can't play the game because Infernals kicks them shit in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, well, I kind of one of the reasons why is they don't have access to Archons of their own, so they're literally an all-you-can-eat buffet for Legion
can
souls.
Can you have direct corpses?
Oh my god!
That'd be mad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, this guy existing will probably, like, shore up that particular issue with the faction. I don't know if that's going to, I imagine Grimkin can probably deal with it, and let's be honest, this guy is going to end up being tilting, even if he's literally just a copy past a Mendoth Archon, because you're going to sacrifice to him. You're going to use him to trigger some
Archon. I'm just going to set out that if he's a copy past a Mendoth Archon in any way, shape, or form, just putting him in with the Wanderer immediately tilts me. Immediately.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, so look, there is definitely a lot of room for this guy to be very, very, very cool.
I'm super keen. I love both these Archons so much.
And I love the next guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cool guy.
This
is literally something we've been talking about since the beginning, like since the inception
of this
faction.
It was an obvious miss at the start of this faction.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a right quest model. Because,
me too.
I mean, he looks like one. He's a headless horse.
Grimkin already kind of looked like that.
That's true. Yeah. He's two trash models riding each other, incidentally. He's a Dreadrot riding a Frightmare, which is beautiful.
And he makes more trash models because they actually shared a rule with this guy he has a gun, maybe not when he's mounted, but definitely when he's dismounted.
It looks like
his pumpkin head.
It looks like the Frightmare fires the pumpkin head.
Yeah, it could be. That could be what happens when he's mounted, so he has the gun on both sides.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I would be I'd be interested to see if this means there is like just a minor CID, just to touch the two things in Grimkin that aren't sort of at the level of the rest of the faction at the moment, which is pumpkin heads and hollow men.
Frightmares.
Just have a look at those, like, they're very unplayed models. I don't know if they need to be, like, brought up to Nayslayer level, but just, like, maybe a bit more.
I think, in fact, I mean, you could use that to, weirdly enough, balance Grimkin a bit more.
Yes.
I don't know if that will ever happen. But
just create a bit more flavor, a bit more reason for choice in the faction.
I mean, you could, I'm sure
he'll provide other stuff other than a giant cool scythe and turning.
It's probably
going to
provide
pumpkins.
He'll provide a buff for Dreadrots more than likely, and who knows what will happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of cool. And then from there, they hinted at the new things, the themes. I mean, Retribution. You can stop complaining. You're getting yourself a new
theme.
I specifically hope there's only three releases in that wave.
That's what it'll be.
All the rest
are three.
Just to upset the people that say that PB doesn't love Retribution.
Well,
they definitely release more than four.
Well, they're definitely
going to
have a caster. They said as much. And then you're right. We'll do three releases.
Three releases.
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have.
Can't say Boogaloo anymore, man. Moving on. We'll talk after the cast.
Oh, dear. Then the Crucible Guard one. Speaking of things we
can't
talk about.
Oh, so excited.
Okay.
Narcotics Anonymous.
Drugs.
So I actually think the Crucible Guard release is going to be a lot more than the other ones because it's a limited faction. You can get away with releasing more shit, and this way you can relook at the whole faction and then go there. But I think that's not really where Crucible Guard won this particular keynote.
We will come to that.
I guess we will.
But it will be very interesting to see if the medium base infantry in Crucible Guard get a look at, just because they just don't seem to get a lot of table time.
I mean,
see what the design space was, and then they immediately became irrelevant.
They became redundant.
The meta moved away from them. Like, they were meant to be, like, you know, anti-shooting.
And then they're, like, one of the most pathetic excuses of an anti-shooting list. And then once they get there, they're like, what do we do?
The problem is, like, they're too squishy when they get there. On the approach, they're not actually good enough.
Yeah.
And, I mean, part of that was because I think during the CID process, they got actually nerfed a fair bit.
They did.
From the original one, because they originally had Vengeance and Tough, and then they lost both.
It'd be cool to see if, like, the Drugs Are Bad block actually brings along things like a weapon attachment that is, like, basically the unit drug dealer.
The speed dealer. The speed dealer.
He basically runs around with a pair of Heracles playing Sandstorm by Darude and handing out the good stuff to people.
So much Sandstorm in this game.
Oh, man. I, on the other hand, I'm looking forward to, like, the fucking Yuri's Revenge's brutes going in of just basically, like, this is what happens when you do too much meth. You basically, like, Hulk out. This is how it actually happens when you do too many roids.
Yeah, you
and you have, like, a unit of roided out freaks.
Yeah, you look like Joe Exotic's husband.
Yeah, exactly.
So it also implies they might do something for Lucas because he's like the drug king. Either a Lucas 2 potentially
yes.
or fixes to Lucas 1.
Yeah, they might send Lucas to rehab for a little bit.
Yeah, they could do
both. And fix him.
I think from my perspective, whether they'll use this also to fix up Prime Materia, because again, theme currently doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No,
it doesn't.
No, it.
Unless they get a third theme from this, or they turn that into the drug.
Or Prime Materia.
Yeah, I think they could turn it into the drugs rehab theme.
I mean, transfers are drugs.
But the whole point of Prime Materia as a theme is it's basically all their secret weapons and shit. And this is where they hide all the secret drugs from the FBI.
Yes. It's basically like going to the family reunion and not inviting some people's two children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Pretty much.
But yeah, that'll be really cool. I'm really excited for that. I'm also really excited to talk about the because I like literally have just picked up my Crystal Guard again and I'm loving him. And then like 2 days later, we get this. So then we get into Rito Quest.
Rito Quest.
Was that the last of the announcements?
That was the last of the War Machine announcements.
So just for everyone that's a bit of a salty Sally, that over the next year or like the next eight to nine months, we've got a Legion theme, we've got a troll theme, we've got the Angel of Death, we've then got a Grimkin update, we've got a Retribution update, and we've got a
Crucible Guard update.
That is six different areas for release outside of Riot Quest. War Machine and Hordes are getting explicitly looked at. That might actually be more than they announced for those two games in most years.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's just like almost...
They just
public perception is what it is the bigger issue here.
They didn't have models to show off. They didn't have renders to show off.
It's almost like they were basically... It's almost like there was a fucking pandemic or something.
This is what they normally show off.
Yeah,
and this is fine. And like, and everything they've announced seems well-placed and cool.
It feels like it took less of the show than most years because there was more in this show than most years.
Yeah, well...
Because they now have four games to show off.
And how many times have they had a keynote that lasted an hour and a half? I'll keep coming back to that because not often. It's usually about a half an hour affair and it's all done and dusted.
Yeah.
They just roll video after video. Whereas this time, like, I mean, I love watching Hungerford just get really enthusiastic about anything he talks about. What a good representative for the games that, like,
he literally got to make Ball Fondlers the game and literally ties it into War Machine.
Yes.
And it's just like, once we do something crazy, it's just like, let's go nuts.
Speaking of Ball Fondlers.
So I think this is where they probably, like, in terms of, like, making a keynote succeed, this is where they sold it, was the fact
this
that.
This is also where a lot of the salt got generated.
I'm sure it is, but I don't give a fuck.
No, this is cool.
The fact is, they could have.
I'm not disagreeing. This is super interesting and super War Machine related, but some people don't like Riot Quest.
Which is a real shame because if you just think about the fact that everything they're releasing here is for War Machine, regardless of that, everything that gets released for this game has such a huge element of cool factor.
Yeah.
In a way that War Machine sometimes maybe doesn't. Like, you've got
things that round out
factions, but you don't have a dude running around with a warjack. Like, we're literally looking at Boomhauer 3 at the moment. He's running around with, like, a warjack
execution racks
and then a bunch of different pieces of armor and things like that.
That he's collecting.
He's literally actually wearing a charger, by the way. Like, he's just like...
His backpack is a charger.
His backpack's a charger. And that's the thing. Like, so the thing there is, like, you can have some releases that work in, like, Riot Quest. Like, I fucking put it...
And this feels like a model that would exist in Iron Kingdoms as is.
Boomhauer
just fucks some shit up and he's like, I'm wearing this now.
I'm fucking
and
right,
so this feels like this could have been a book storyline where he somehow got separated from his troop and fought his way through a war zone.
It's just
and
like,
just
like,
up
he comes back and he's
away.
Just like, what the fuck happened to you? It's just like... It was pretty fun.
And just to reiterate some of the things they said here, and this is what I love because, like, I love reading the Quiet Rest comic books. And the fact that there are, like, little comic strips, like, the little vignette stories they have in this. But this block, I don't know if many people picked up on it, but, this core box for this block is actually functionally a narrative box, where it's Boomhauer's crew. And so you've got Boomhauer 3. You've then got Shivers.
Which is
possibly the coolest thing I've ever seen, right?
And fucking baby Gorax who thinks Boomhauer is his mother.
Yeah, with
it's specifically his mother.
Yeah, absolutely. And just learned how to become a fell caller in the process.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool. And then we got,
like, a Gristle
You got Yuri who decided, he basically is
like,
just like gone
is,
all like.
He just got convinced to come out of hiding.
It's literally like the.
He's just like,
he's like that friend that we all know. that won't leave their house to do anything because of,
yeah,
like,
he's basically
because of the COVID. And you're like, that's fair and understandable. But eventually you need to come out. And that's what Boomhauer's done. He's convinced Yuri the Axe to leave isolation and rejoin the
to
world.
To go on.
I mean, he looks like
heists.
Basically Ron Swanson from that one episode where he's holed up in his cabin to avoid it. And he just grows a beard.
No,
just
this,
like...
What's even better is this is basically the heist episode of Rick and Morty. Yeah. Where, like, Gregor Boomhauer is rolling around in the wilderness.
You
and, like,
son
comes,
of a bitch.
Comes across the... He's like, Gregor Boomhauer, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
So this is the core box for the new Riot Quest Wintertime Wasteland that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So then after Yuri, we've got
Black Bella.
Bella.
Which is cool. Like,
she's a Soul Calibur character.
But how amazing
is
this?
She's a well...
She's
a well-designed
so
Ivy.
So this is this is actually a thing, right? Like, so not only do they go through all the Riot Quest models, like, individually, probably go through... They also had the sculpts and everything on hand.
Yeah.
Like, they've got a December release timetable, if I remember right,
yeah,
for, like, their current thing. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if stuff comes out significantly earlier than that.
But also
they like
to
surprise
that.
People.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
But this is... But they, like, just, you know, in terms of, like, there doesn't seem to be any, like, stagnation in the quality of sculpts they're bringing out in this game. And that's one of the things that draw me to it, is that, like, I buy, like, these, like, the Riot Quest models... A, because they work in the Riot Quest. B, because they work in War Machine. But C, I picked the models that I think are just awesome.
And I'm super
impressed
with all of these.
And they're not slowing down in the awesome department.
And so last of this crew, who's also really cool...
Is Ysilia.
Yeah, who's this weird, like, morbid character.
I can't believe it's not Vale.
I'm reading this, and I'm looking at, like, think of all things, like, a Hearthstone quote. And it's basically, it's like, rogues guard the secret of poison.
Yeah.
Why? They guard it so that mages don't get their hands on it. Poison poison fireball, rain of poison.
Yeah.
Poison stuff. No one wants any of that shit.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is why. This is what happens.
She's poison winter is her theme, apparently.
Yeah. Toxic ice. You're just like, it's kind of like when you have like a fire tornado or something like that. You're just like, that. Nothing there was good fun.
And we'll see her rules next week.
Yeah.
She's in the CID.
Yes.
So this is the core box that's coming out in the Kickstarter that they launched literally today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have my favorite model, which
Bulkhead.
Is, of course, Bulkhead.
Hey, with a shotgun.
I am going to be interested if, like, I get the feeling that
he's got to have both barrels.
I get the feeling, like, he's going to be, like, a pig tank, as in there's going to be a non-character version of him, and then there'll be a character version of him, because they mentioned that there's Manowar breaches.
Yep.
And he's definitely, obviously, a fucking breaching, like...
I'd be curious how they would do that, because it's really easy to do that with light and...
Leadfoot entrance. Oh, you probably.
This is really.
Yeah,
fire.
I mean, the
like,
thing
he's
is
not that, identifiable in any
the
way.
The fact that he's got a helmet there means, like you might have a version which doesn't have a helmet. It's like there's your character version there, because that's usually
well,
how
that
it
is
goes.
The character
version. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing is, like, I don't really mind.
Do you need
I
just, more solos, Chris?
Yes. And also, I'd like to feat on breaches. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're
right,
welcome.
Yeah, that's fair.
No worries, Chris.
I mean, look.
He's cool. His
I think,
shotgun is bigger than I am.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, Manowar itself, I feel like needs something just to, like, spice it up a bit, because a lot of the theme, like, it was really fun this weekend, just like, or last weekend gone by at this point in time, just rolling in with double chariots, a bunch of tankers, and going nuts. But it's like, if you go for 75 points, oftentimes I just end up in the same place. I'm like, I don't really want to
reinvent.
I mean,
it's not a theme with a lot of options.
Yeah, so adding a
it's
fucking Manowar with
the caster that changes the theme up. It's and depending on, like, which three and which makeup of the three units you choose.
Yeah.
But the solos and, like...
Yeah, because it's just, like, you kind of want all of these. But here's the thing. It's, like, I'm happy for that because, like, all the solos in the Manowar thing are generally just cool. So
this is a cool boy.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a very cool boy. Let's have a look. Let's keep moving on.
Good Gundren model? What?
Well,
yeah,
I just love that, like, Gundren got wasted and slept through the apocalypse. Like, what a cool storyline.
And then gets addicted to energy siphoning mace that he just finds lying around.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now he's addicted to power, so he'll do
winners don't do kinetic energy, boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, like...
He looks badass.
So here's the thing, like, a lot of these, like, are
he's
probably...
He's a rogue.
Yeah. He's a scout, actually.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
Yeah. So a lot of these models are going to be things into themes that basically show up weaknesses. So if we roll back to, like, Boomhauer. Boomhauer is, like, design... Apparently, you can't take him as a free card.
He's 8 points.
He's, like, 8 points. He's a fell caller. He might be on a large base or
and
something.
He's literally described as an Axe Archon.
Which is
cool. So what's probably going to happen with, like... So that's the thing. It's like, that's how you kind of see him showing up, say, like, Heroes and or Storm of the North.
He's probably going to be in the new theme for us because he's both a minion and...
Yeah, I could see that, too.
And that's what makes me think that maybe we'll not see a Creel company with that theme. We're going to maybe see an... like Creel Warriors, and maybe I don't know about Fenblades, but maybe Warders or Champions, like some actual mix of the ranged familiar units, which would then again differentiate.
That would be nice,
that's
actually.
That's literally what I'm asking for. And this guy makes, the reason I didn't bring it up earlier is because I think this guy shows that that might be the case.
Mm. Yeah.
Where we're going to see an actual like merging of some of the different aspects of both.
It is interesting that him existing means you can now take three Archons and Trolls. I'm gonna just bluntly guess that if you can take a Dunian Archon with this guy, he's probably worth using the Dunian Archon on.
Yes.
And like Shivers, I don't remember exactly what themes he worked for in Circle. Is he a partisan or is he just like a Circle?
Yes.
Okay, so he probably just works for all of them. Yuri, Yuri's the two themes Yuri will go into is basically going to be Jaws of the Wolf and the fucking Wotoff. Woof. And I'm like, in Wolf, that's interesting because you got a solo. Like, I don't know if he's actually better than regular Yuri because regular Yuri does some cool things in that list, but he'd be different.
Well, he's got a gun, so that's already interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't really talk about his, like, War Machine rules.
Yeah. And
whereas Boomhauer, they did. They did a little bit with Black Bella, too. She's going to be. She's more powerful.
She was, she was basically.
She's going to cost more, so she's probably going to be a more impactful.
She's a free card, basically.
Yeah.
I think she's more designed for, like one of these themes that haven't seen a lot of thing. It's going to be the pirate theme, because, like, she has Call to Sacrifice with press gangers and
that
shit like
that.
Rule. And, like, the Nyssa as well. Like, Nyssa is.
She has poison stuff, so she'll probably have corrosion rules.
She's
we'll going to
be in, she's
going to
be in, like, more than likely the occult. What's the occult theme again?
Ravens?
No.
Oracles.
So it'd be in Oracles, and she's also in Children of the Dragon, and those are the two themes that need
and
it.
And she's
going
to be in the Virtue theme if there is one.
Manowar, Manowar, I could definitely, Manowar could do with some spice. I think they're still fine.
Gundren
but,
will be a minion model.
But he's also going to be a Rulic model.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
have he's not the only ruler model we'll be talking about today.
No, he isn't. I mean, that's kind of what I want
Dez
to get
and
is.
Gubbin, they're going to shoot
Dez you. And Gubbin, on the other hand, I'm pretty sure are just a, irregular's choice.
Yes, but yeah. I love the idea of a mini feat where you actually shoot Gubbin and he appears.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
That was my understanding, is that she will be shooting a Gubbin.
You can put a Gubbin on the mortar.
Might not be the case, but because if you have a Gubbin that ports under the table from range and then he's able to shoot his case cracker, you are you might be breaking.
What
the
does
game.
He have? He's got high explosive
armor piercing,
and armor piercing, right? Yeah. I mean, Gubbin's just a cool guy.
He's a very cool guy.
So then we have a fucking
Captain
weapon,
Carly.
Captain Carly, a weapon attachment to. A weapon, an express team.
I got reminded on the weekend that express teams are a really good unit, and I don't know.
She makes them better,
and she apparently makes them shoot again, which means that if you are taking the shoot again solo, and then you take her, and you
bang,
you get the three shot express teams in a turn.
Yeah.
This is
a cool
model. pretty spicy.
So this
stuff.
One's going to be an interesting.
Badass,
I mean, express teams are like Trench's theme hasn't seen a bunch of play or something like that. Blah 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 blah.
This
and
might bring it up.
Yeah, and it's also I like the fact that it's not trying to polish say the Trencher cannon. It's trying to polish the fucking express team. Like already one of the just cooler models.
Yeah.
In that theme, I reckon she's probably going to be one of those ones that. Brings Trenches out, I have a feeling. I don't know entirely.
They're not
which
far
way.
Off being great, right?
Yeah.
Like they just need a little bit of love. And this might be that love that they need.
I mean, a lot of this comes down to meta stuff as well. It's why we're sort of a bit about this Krill Company business is just short range guns generally have this kind of problem. But again, even if you just take Trencher theme, just to take express teams as free cards, that kind of works. You can literally play her with fucking Kara Sloan with a million jacks.
Didn't happen to me on the weekend.
It definitely didn't happen to me either. Oh, wait, that reminded
both
me.
Both of us.
Great. It turns out it's not a great look. And now we got this guy, Stone Lord, Golver, Godor.
We get to see a Stone Lord for the first time.
So, yeah, this guy is kind of, this guy again is another Rulic buff. And more,
so,
unlike Gudrun, he is very specific.
For those who don't know, Chris,
yeah.
Stone Lords are the royal class. Of the Rulic faction, which we never see or hear about.
Right, so it's kind of this is basically if we've got
Empress
Vinar, or Vinter showing up and just okay, well, let's kick ass.
And I love that we're going, yes, it's a little bit of an infringement on, not infringement, but correlation with another game that involves dwarves in a fantasy setting. But one of the cool things that used to exist in the Games Workshop Dwarf Armies was having the Rune Lords sitting in there. like in their big entourage units.
Hammerers, yeah.
And this guy is a unit attachment. He's not a solo. He's not a warcaster.
Yeah. He's a command attachment.
He's a command attachment. Two forge guard.
Forge guard.
Which is really cool.
He's a guy carrying two forge guard.
It's interesting like that.
What a fucking badass.
Forge guard work for multiple factions. They work for Signar and they work for Protectorate.
Yeah.
The fact that he's specifically a command. Oh, they do. Okay.
Yes. Crucible guard. But you might be taking Dr. Hitler over them.
That's the thing. Is like you kind of. That's exactly why. But yeah, I think that this guy, I mean, this guy's basically going to be like one of, he's designed to buff Rulik, right? Yeah. So
well, he's got,
I'm not going to lie.
Shouts too, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's got battle plans. Like, so I'm pretty sure he's probably got desperate pace.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, like maybe for once, the eternal question of like whether it's worth taking Hammer Dwarves in your Osram list will be decided quite firmly in the favor of you take this idiot, you take a Siege Crawler, and you take the Hammer Dwarves to accompany him, and then you're probably fine.
You play an Osram, and you got like a plus four speed unit of Hammer Dwarves.
Plus five.
You know, why don't we just give it, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
so that's how it's going to all shake out. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, he's a free card. I know that everyone, when I talked with Affy, he always complained that one of the problems with like Hammer Strike is the third free card. There's not really a choice.
This guy might be it.
Yeah, it's like you can take like Harlow, but it doesn't feel as good. Yeah. And it's like you're usually taking gun crews and shit like that, or random, and then you're like, I guess I'll take a random Ogryn.
Yeah.
Alright, old Grim. I don't know what he'll do, but he's gonna work in like.
He's Krix and he's Kador.
He's a Widowmaker and he's a Pistol Wraith. So he'll work in basically anything that
works.
I feel
like he'll be a Widowmaker with Pistol Wraith bullets.
And Soul Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be gross.
I think what's gonna happen is. I don't know. I actually have the vague feeling he's just gonna be a little bit of a whateverish type model. Not in the bad sense, but in the sense of like he's a guy with a gun.
He may make the sniper boat Jaws of the Wolf lists like pretty like just push
depending
that.
What he definitely does, is push he, that better. He definitely like at the very worst like he's gonna be a free card in two things
yeah,
I quite like and you know what that's the worst place to be. Plus he's a random.
And if he's in corp, then that's a good little like flag solo that you can have.
Yeah, I mean
who doesn't want to go anywhere further than hanging
he definitely does not know.
Yeah.
The fact that he's also a Widowmaker means he'd get Swift Hunter from Marksman. Yeah. From the Crick's perspective, I think the fact he's a Pistol Wraith, like, I don't think he's going to have Ghost Shot, is just my guess, but that would be hilarious if he did.
Can the Sevlik still take Pistol Wraith?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I guess he's also going to show up with Vexus.
Maybe,
perhaps.
Depending on how that's worded.
Yeah, unless he's like classified as a Rifle Wraith.
Yeah, Rifle Wraith.
Yes. Then we get to...
Infernal,
our first actual... No, so there was technically Fjord 4.
I have concerns here.
Yeah.
That's what those abilities are.
I mean, I find, first of all, this sculpt is utterly hilarious just for
so
all
good.
The random shit she's got.
She's got an Oraculus and a Kador hat.
It's the talent... Like, so one of the things...
Is that rag? Is that Madrag?
This is where I'm a little bit worried about, is that if these pieces that she's shown within the artwork actually correlate to the game state, is that if she's a marked soul... That actually has Madrax Talisman, which is basically a vision, and you're putting that into an Infernals list, and she's a marked soul. That makes scalping against Infernals very difficult, and I'm concerned because you've got doubling that up with a Hermit. That could be problematic.
Well, what do you mean the Hermit? The Hermit doesn't do visions for them.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, so then I'm all good with that then.
Okay.
Cool.
They get actions to the visions through a separate model.
I do think I'm going to be honest. She's going to be egregious. Like, I don't even know what she'll do.
She's
but
definitely going to be
she's
egregious.
She's a super cool looking model, though.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
So, like, here's the thing. Like, with Infernals, a lot of the time comes down to, like, trying to figure out which mark order you sacrifice your marked souls. And honestly, building Infernals is you have either you can't take all the solos, and they're all busted.
Yes.
Which is obviously tragic, but it's like, so her fitting in, if she's going to fit in, it's not going to be for good reasons.
No.
But then again, I guess that's just how we are.
Like, realistically, like, the solos that we're pushing out a lot of the time for these new choices would be, like, Wretches.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you're actually just changing
the utility.
A lot
of the character solos are honestly very, like...
It's hard to put them in.
Click in and out.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, Roger and Hawk.
Roger,
Hawk, Regner are like the ones that I don't think I'd ever see an Infernal list without.
Yeah.
Hawk.
Yeah. Hawk or Hulk. Yeah, whatever
yeah.
his name
whatever
is. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of like, I mean, she'd probably
Horse
be...
Lord.
Yeah,
yeah
Horse
Lord.
Lord. Like, she'd be competing a lot
Even
with,
Horse
say,
Lord
like...
still gets pulled out sometimes because he's 7 points.
Yeah.
Sure.
I find that happens, like, sometimes you pull out, like, oh, what's his name, Runewood, and then you feel gross about that.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I've saw that model, or rather I picked up that model for the first time. He's a chunky boy.
Oh, yeah.
He's an old school metal skull.
He's like, he's just like, he's metal as fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, like...
And the last but not least.
This is not the last. It's not the last.
Not even close.
God, man.
I thought it was the last one.
Oh, God,
in the order of the...
I mean, it is the best, the cast,
but... I've got some more here in case...
It's definitely the best, so that's fine.
But Bumbles. And I don't know if... I don't know if you guys saw this, but Hungerford may have put up the card for Bumbles and blocking out his
faction symbol
is a B.
Yeah.
So well, Hungerford is definitely getting the Bs into...
It was in one of the other arts I've seen.
Yeah.
And that's what he's staring at. It's Bumbles is a bear covered in like scrap to get like put to get like assembled armor from like all over the place.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there staring into the sky, looking with these like vicious claws and stuff. But he's got this like
super mellow
face staring at the sky. But there's supposed to be this little tiny bee that he's following with his eyes.
I love that.
I love that. And his name is Bumbles.
Yeah.
What a great concept. So we actually know what this guy does. I'm really excited about this because it's not just Ambush Bear, but it's Ambush Bear
with
pitch on his melee weapons.
Really?
Which, yes.
Oh, wow.
Just base pitch. Not a crit. And we know that he's a bear, so he's going to have three base attacks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
but it's probably on the paws.
But that means two of those paws means that he can like pitch them into other things. So he's like the bears list that we may have joked about a little while back might be becoming more and more legit.
Yeah. Like between this guy and Boom Howler, like you're getting a lot of like really high value solos.
If you somehow magically take Yuri 2 in that troll list,
yes,
then technically you get Brug twice.
Yes.
Because we didn't mention that Yuri is wearing Brug as a skin.
He murdered the bear.
Yes.
Which is cool. Like that. This model's really exciting and so cute.
Yeah, it's great. It's one of my favorites of the show.
Yeah. Then we get to.
There are more.
Oh fuck! I had a name.
Kogan
is basically job is to punch people out of the arena.
They said he has a Tharnax, but he's literally carrying Getarex's axe.
Yes.
Yeah.
The mecha weapon.
So he's going to be a Merc model that works
Merc's
for... he's a minion model
that works for Circle.
As a partisan.
But not in Tharn.
They said that in the fluff he's been ostracized from Tharn because he got basically a mecha arm.
But I'm pretty sure that he's still allowed because
he's a Tharn.
It's more like he's got a big beefy arm.
But
unless they have rule that says exile Tharn,
then
he might not work in that theme.
Yeah, maybe.
But even if not, if
he might work in like Wolf.
Well, also, if he's a Tharn model and he works in Secret Masters, that's actually really cool.
And you also can summon him if he's low on cost.
Can you summon non-character?
No, non-character.
But in Secret Masters, he's the sort of model that you want, which is a high-impact melee. Like, if he does all the things that we're sort of expecting, a high-impact melee model that you're using Junior Archons and the Hermit to keep alive the whole game. That's pretty cool.
He's a cool guy.
He basically looks like that. I mean, from what we got told, he's like the pitching kind of guy. I'm not really sure Tharn is on that list of model or like themes that realistically need more additional.
No, they need more additional busted models.
I'm sure they did.
Now I feel like maybe the one model may be more interesting.
This might be the most exciting thing outside of Death Archon for me. That was announced the entire show.
Which is
pretty good. Elaine Bennett.
Warcaster.
Yeah, so
Rocket Man Warcaster.
It's a Rocket Man Warcaster coming up for this theme. And I would highly recommend going to the Kickstarter for the Riot Quest just to see the sculpt.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing.
The sculpt is really cool. Like look, there are things that I'm probably gonna change with because I like to hard sculpted fire and stuff is not always my favorite thing, but the model's really cool.
Yeah, but it's interesting that they went and did the thing that like Tyson Cock went and
normally
did.
Normally does,
Where he designs this really elaborate jetpack smoke trails.
Yeah.
And they built that into her model this time.
Yeah. Which I think is pretty rad.
And if it works like the Kane 2 bullets where you can attach that and disattach that, so you could be putting her actually into the Tyson Coke flight stands. This model is really, really freaking cool.
Yeah, she's got a like huge backpack. So she's apparently going to be really interesting.
And we know that she's going to be the most... Like, they're sort of alluding to her being the most mobile Warcaster.
Windrush.
It could be a Windrush Repo
sort of
caster.
Oh my god, it could be like...
Spray 8.
Windrush is one of my favorite rules.
I mean, I think it's very...
She's got two flamethrowers on her.
I think it's very specific that she has flamethrowers, by the way, because it's pretty much...
That's what's literally sculpted on the base.
Yeah,
she's flamethrowing the
ground. Yeah, but more like, she doesn't have long-range guns. Like, this is... Because they're like... If they're making fast models, generally speaking, most of their fast models have short-range guns.
Yes.
So you don't have the whole thing of, like, a high-speed model with repo that also has a long-range gun, which is just really annoying to deal with.
And on the exciting side of things, and this is where I really like Crucible Guard, is, like, I think they're really well-designed. And I really like how they play.
I don't know if I entirely agree with
they're
that.
Not, they're not in terms of just necessarily powered, but just in terms of, like, they're a tidy faction. But
I still don't agree.
Okay. But with casters like Baldwin, where you have, he's very much a Crucible Guard infantry caster. Like, where you, like, you know, you're very incentivized to take that unit with him. Or like McKay taking Battle Group Heavy or Tonks. Like, this model probably gives us a lot of opportunity to really buff Rocket Men.
I agree.
Which are a very in need of support unit.
Well, the thing with Rocketmen to me is, like, the problem with them is that
they don't do any work.
Yeah, and that's frustrating because I think Rocketmen have a pretty important place, I find, in CG. It's to stop you losing on scenario. But then you're like, I don't want to pay 16 points. I can't afford it.
I understand why they're reticent to make them, like, do a lot of work.
Yeah.
Is because of how fast they can get there to do it.
But
it's also like, if I will say, if you play games where they do work, you're just like, your fucking top hit screen is unshootable, uncatchable, and also is killing your army. Like, they just mill so much. I think, like, honestly, Rocketmen, probably the only real thing I would change is just make their slug gun as weapon master and maybe make their bombs a little more damaging.
Or do something like with this lady where you've got, like, you bring back sort of the old elite cadre type rules, like Brian.
You know what I want? I want battle plans. Or, like, specifically like Aurora's flight commands, because I was thinking about it, like, obviously Aurora 2, spoiler alert for anyone, I won a tournament. Technically speaking, it wasn't local, but it was against local players, and I was playing Aurora 2.
Yes.
And she is extremely fun to play, and she's also quite, like, you dictate so much of that game.
Is that what they're called, her battle plans, flight plans?
Flight commands. Yeah.
She will have that role.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, that's the thing, is I was looking at, like, what's the most busted thing, hypothetically, we could put with Aurora 2, and we were just like, well, units-wise, like, that's one of the things with that list is, technically speaking, that Theme Force doesn't really, like, Strange Bedfellows doesn't have a great unit. I mean, I'm not taking Carrion Swarm.
Yeah.
And by great unit, I mean a full-size unit, because obviously Negation Angels are, they're good at negating your opponent's hopes and dreams.
But with this particular caster, I think just the opportunity to specifically buff the output, the damage output of Rocketmen is really quite promising.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, along with the CG relook, it all just sort of just gets tidied up together.
It'll get something new as well.
I think what you suggested earlier, and we'll say
was
here,
was Pistolier.
Yeah, it's Pistolier. But I think that also helps fix one of the faction's other problems, is it has, like, zero melee presence with the exception of
the Hammer Dudes.
Yeah, Pistolier.
Or the
Toro.
Yeah, Pistolier would be cool, actually.
And the Hammer Dudes aren't doing his stuff either.
And Pistolier would be fine, because the
thing that was a spell, you wouldn't even have to just put it on Rocketmen as well, so you could try other things.
But Pistolier, as a rule, if you think about all the problems you just outlined with what Rocketmen, where Rocketmen teeter on the balance of, is, like, you don't want them to be super slippery, super fast, and super
shooting
high range.
Yeah.
What you want them to be able to do is exactly what Chris was suggesting, which is a scenario support piece. And something like Pistolier, and that means you don't need to give Weapon Master to the Jack Hunting weapon attachment, because they've functionally got it if they're meleeing it. And that's perfectly fine on a unit that can get up to, like, 23 points in cost.
Yeah.
Is actually making
it's
them
super expensive.
It's very expensive. But something like that really sort of brings them to a level where they have a definite place in that faction.
It means they get to melee and then they do the thing they're supposed
yes.
to do.
Yeah. And it's also, like, it rewards you for, like, because they're like a shield wall unit, is basically, and you get to do some funky ass shit with them as well. Like, it means also you're more encouraged
to
use the.
They have so much potential that they just kind of waste as is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think
I can see how they could easily get broken, but I feel like Pistolier is a really easy is a really interesting way to get around that.
Yeah,
and that rule is independent, and with the rest of the faction, there's really interesting ways to apply it.
Yeah,
because you do have debuffs everywhere.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think that, and just on top of that, I think that the Rocketman Ace is a model that currently doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. I mean,
so if you then, like, coupled that with, like, the Rocketman Ace, just having, like, a rule that gave, like, a minor passive out to the rocket men or the rocket people.
She used to give dodge, but
the Nellies have that baked in. So
yeah.
that's a piece that has a little bit of an identity problem. This model and its release and just the relook of how rocket men work, really exciting.
Well, I'll put it this way, like, you know, one model that love Pistolier, and honestly the best model in Rocketman is simply put their captain. Frankly,
Two-Shot Man,
frankly, should in fact be the Rocketman ace or Rocket.
Well, he's
people
essentially
ace.
The Crix UA, remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he's like double axe boy.
Yeah. So he's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
My excitement level for this model is so freaking high.
Brian's
gonna show me how to use an internet later so that I can kickstart this model.
Mm. I think it's hilarious because like she literally like we literally have no idea what she does apart from burninating people and fly really fast and shoot really.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she has like Windrush parry and flame trail.
I mean, it'd be funny, yeah.
Flame
trail might be a thing.
Windrush is a spell and parry is
a passive. And so she just flies around like spraying idiots and like her jetpack.
I mean, like,
she just always forgets to take her fingers off the trigger when she flies.
So she's an orc basically, yeah. So I'm just going to call it, like, it doesn't matter what rules she has, she's going to piss off Frawley, and that means that she's well
so
designed.
Good.
It's going to be fantastic.
I'm so keen.
I also, second prediction is that Josh is going to probably get back into Crucible Guard just to play this cast.
And go face.
Go face.
Go
just
face.
Kill every day.
When I first saw her, I thought she was going to be an ace. Solo,
yeah.
Like character solo.
Yeah, yeah.
At least the caster was like, oh my god, that changes everything.
This is awesome.
Yep.
This is literally what everyone was asking for.
Yep. All right, next up, and I think the final one of that
is Lord of the Slabs.
Oh my god. So anyone who doesn't know is that this is the Kayazi underboss who literally was the best model in that unit since the start. Like, this guy is like an unofficial character almost, like Vizcova. I mean, you notice it's the same underboss guy, right?
Yeah.
It's the same bold fat guy.
Yeah.
But who looks like he'd break your neck.
That's the thing. He looks a bit fat and overweight. And then you look at it like, actually, those are some pretty fucking chunky muscles.
Yeah. He looks like one of those like fat guys that is like, you can see under all that fat is a guy who will like snap you like a twig.
Yeah.
It's all muscle under that layer.
Yeah, it's all fantasy muscle. And
have you watched Full Metal Alchemist?
Yes.
Yeah, like the teacher's husband.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So, actual fact, like, with regards to what he does, it's like, I mean, we can't top the Rocketman ace, but, like, I'm not entirely sure what this guy will do. I'm sure it'll be funny.
We know that he has a harpoon gun, and that harpoon gun either has both the rule reel in and drag.
Yeah, so he either turns into, like, a fucking Swamp Gobber River Raider.
Lord of the Slabs.
Oh, the best
He also
thing.
Has brain damage on his crowbar, apparently.
Yeah, because he's got a crowbar, which is the most powerful weapon you could possibly own.
Yes.
If I've learned anything from Half-Life, is crowbars are bullshit.
Yeah. This guy's just
he should have rapid strike.
This guy embodies everything I love about Riot Quest. Cool factor. Times infinity.
Yeah.
Right here.
I love just like his cape. It's so ornate and over the top.
You'll never see him coming in his bright red Santa cape.
Wearing
with a
giant ass gold chains and shit like that.
He's got a sword too, just in case he loses his crowbar.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this model will have duelist. I'm guessing that he'll have stealth, probably parry.
I mean, look, this is like Kayazi. There's never been a Kayazi solo. There's obviously been Kayazi eliminators and stuff like that, but I can just phone it in
so
now.
He's a mercenary.
He's like one more for the Riot Crest team. Like
one more for the Fiona the Black team as
or
well.
Like
in terms
the
of models that abuse movement shenanigans.
Or the Rehera team as
well.
Or
the Riri team.
Yeah, Riri team. I mean, him with Rehera is going to be all kind of hilarious. He ends up in some weird spots and just
shoot
damage.
That guy. Shoot that guy.
I think that's it, actually.
That's it. Then we get some alternate sculpts.
No, not quite. There is, like, some alternate sculpts. Honestly, they're, like, cable
characters
ones.
They're cool.
I like the Gorman one.
The Gorman one is nice. The Iris one, you can barely tell the difference. And Bamfist is wearing a hat.
Yeah. But
the real hero.
They forgot to show it earlier, but there was actually one more mini crate model they didn't show us.
Which I think everyone in this room is going to be ordering.
Yeah.
I already own the base model for this, and I want to own the new one.
So,
anyone who hasn't played
Flugwog, and, you know, this is where we're probably just going to get this model for Colin. Oop. Yeah, that was definitely silent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's probably as good as time as any to end on, like, a high note, the highest of notes, the hero note that we deserve. Flugwog the hero.
Flugwog the filter
hero. He's going to eat you.
Which is just like Flugwog in a fucking awful superhero costume.
I love that his belt is a frog face.
Yeah.
This is the best thing.
And he's standing on like an Iris statue from like Iris 2.
Oh, yeah, God. I'm like so excited for this model.
He's so dumb.
I will be buying this model like very happily.
Yeah.
So
and there is so much to be hyped about.
What a huge keynote.
Well, I mean, like they've gone after a bunch of us just after the years of us shit talking keynotes, right? Like it turns out they decided to crack down last year. They were certainly on their way to do so.
The fucking soundtrack was great.
It was some Thor Ragnarok 80s shit. I'm like, yeah, yes. this is.
And I love the voiceovers for all of the Riot Quest stuff. And it's like they
called back, but just enough where it's like, yeah I remember that.
We're
but
gonna lean into the scene.
It's like where it's too hard, like the first time.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's a joke here, but none of us get it.
I will say
this time they're like, now we get it, and you didn't push it too far, so I appreciate it.
I am amused at the fucking absolutely terrible Scottish accents that they tried to pull off.
Oh, fucking Boom Howler.
Awesome.
And they over the top Everblight voice.
Yeah. Fucking edge.
They did a good job this year.
Yeah.
So obviously, we've got a lot of things like looking forward to regarding War Machine in general. I think we're gonna it's gonna be some interesting times. I think what is gonna happen as a result of all these releases is you're gonna have parts of the game smoothed out, and a lot of like cool releases come through. I think, frankly, the problem a lot of people had, frankly, was because of the quarantine. It looked like nothing was sort of getting done. Like, oh, it's all this like Warcaster shit or like Monpok or things I don't really care about, but
You should probably care about those things.
Yes. Yeah, and it's just like you're almost getting drip fed these kind of things, but realistically,
you should be drip fed.
Yeah, well, I mean, we weren't given a timetable of when the next hit was,
Now we have it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fairly regular.
Yeah.
It's probably one every 2 months.
Look, I'll put it this way. Like, apparently the Legion stuff is coming out in September, so use that as your time frame.
And then we're getting Trolls and stuff at the end of the year.
Quest comes out at the end of the year.
Red
is early next year.
Yeah, and Grimkin stuff is early next year.
Yep.
And Crucible Guard and...
My guess is Crucible Guard will finish out then a year of release cycles.
Maybe they'll probably throw in one more, but who knows? Yeah.
To be honest, one more, and I would almost say they're releasing too much for the game.
I think they could do one more, but we'll see. Like,
because Grimkin's not going to be very big. It's going to probably get rolled in with.
But it doesn't
take
much to totally shake up those.
They're so small. It's the same thing as the last time Grimkin got models. Like, suddenly your entire theme force became playable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they got like five or six models.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah.
So
they're
just
all like command attachments and a few small.
Yeah.
Just to sort of like round it out, do you guys have like a top three things that you're excited for?
Yeah,
I'm
like four.
Gonna put you on this. Well, why don't we go top four? Top four for Brian. Top
okay, well, it's Death Archon.
Yep.
Grimkin Archon.
Yep.
Bumbles.
Yep.
And Flying Warcaster.
Okay.
Crucible Guard Warcaster.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to cop out and just name the 4K door releases. I'll just say the one I'm looking for is like the fucking, what was it? Bulkhead.
Yep.
The Edgelord Archon. Why not?
Nice.
Because that thing's just rad.
Oh, yep. Duel is so cool.
Yep.
Yeah. What are the others?
I didn't even talk about Warcaster.
I was tempted to throw in a Warcaster thing there, but I'm really not sure. Like, yeah, you know,
to be fair, I really do like the Zenith. Like, I could.
Yeah. I can see you buying.
I can see you going all in on that. Yeah, randomly.
Like the rest of the factions, okay, but the Zenith, like,
You know, I'm just gonna say it. I'm kind of semi looking forward to the Legion releases as a whole, and that'd be the rounded out, and not necessarily because it will mean that one of the Austin players might not play Metal. And how about yourself, Tom?
I think that Crucible Guard are getting me really excited at the moment, like, because I've got enough of my core factions like built up. Like, I play Ret and I play Circle. Ret I own and paint to almost faction completion. And Circle is I'm pretty deep into that rabbit hole too, so I don't need heaps of stuff to come out for them. But Crucible Guard is a faction that I really enjoy playing. So both the Narcotics Anonymous block and the jetpack Warcaster, just like my hype level just went through the roof. I'm like, this is sick, like so excited. Then on top of that, I'm actually like weirdly like all of Riot Quest. Is really exciting for me because I really love that game.
This feels like you guys are cheating.
It does, actually.
It does a little bit. And just to go a little bit different, Warcaster excites me a lot more after that keynote than anything else so far.
Well, again, the first time we heard about Warcaster, it's like, it exists.
Yes.
And then you're just like, what? And that was honestly the lamest thing I'd ever, like, I was super not sold on that game when they first showed it off. And then they did the one that they were, then they did the most recent one, which was the one prior to releasing the Kickstarter, and that got me much more engaged, and then actually getting involved with the rules and stuff actually sold me on it.
Yeah.
Where this one, I agree, is a much better showcase of the game.
And it's giving it stuff that is now uniquely Warcaster, which I'm so excited
which
for.
Is
like,
not
the
like...
Scythe, the Empyreans particularly, are so uniquely Warcaster. And I was like, this game now starts to feel like its own thing. It's not trying to copy anybody
else. I feel
else.
Like the vehicles helped a lot in differentiating the factions. Because honestly, like the Tau stuff, like the March of
the Worlds.
It has the Tau colors, which doesn't help it.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of guys with guns with Tau colors.
Yeah.
Honestly, their jacks and stuff don't look like it. I can kind of see the infantry. I can kind of get what people get, but it does look very generic.
It's actually a thing that annoyed me was, in fact, how some of the stuff got released, because, like, if you the model
start with the heavies.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the model. If you wanted to get people involved in fucking Warcast, I'd tell you the moment I decided I wanted to play Marches when I looked at the fucking Strike Raptor. I'm like, I want to have that fucking thing.
Yeah, and for me, the Continuum with their heavy, I was like, that thing is dope.
It's a giant bee thing.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
And it's like,
ISA
kind
of has, like, ISA has a bit of an Infinity-esque.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that, as time has gone on, has, like, cooled
changed
down
a bit. Yeah.
I feel like the more things they release, the more it identifies the factions. And I think that's helping. And this has increased the world, which has helped a lot with its design and intrigue.
As I said, I think one of the next casts we can do probably would just go into our thoughts on, like, Warcaster and how to play it and stuff like that and what we've seen. Because I think, like, honestly, give it, like, first things first, can 100% like writing it off or just, like, giving it shit for basically the way it was released? Because, like we just said, it was kind of hilariously bad. But seriously, go look at, like, the first battle reports that they just put out. If you, not battle reports, like the fucking dev games went right before all this shit went down. Because that, actually seeing it in action, was when I first got convinced that this game might be something more than just like Pano versus Tau in space.
Yep.
With some buzzsaw wielding dude bands running around.
It's a really unique game to play.
Yeah.
Like, having watched your game, and I'm definitely starting to read a bit more into it, but just the portal system is...
I mean,
really cool.
If you want to know, the easiest way I could say to play it is it's like playing making an FPS
on
into a board game.
Yep.
It's literally like you've got like clown carring spawn points and shit like that.
It's great.
And it's kind of like Titanfall. You're running around the place and you're blowing people up and like shooting people off of objectives. And again, like because of the fact you can't attrition people down is literally baked into the game. You have this aspect going of, okay, like the game is 100% focused on scenario, has a clock. It doesn't do all of the things that, like, fuck over, like, say, Age of Sigma, like, or Guild Ball, for that matter, like, double turning, and, like, other random shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, it's literally baked into it. And honestly speaking, like, as skirmish games go, it's probably the most competitive skirmish battle box game I've ever played. Like, as in...
It's one of the most competitive battle boxes I've ever played.
Yeah. And I don't mean that in the, like, it's only for tryhards. I mean more that, like, you know when you do your War Machine fucking skirmish battle box and you try and make it a bit interesting, right? Don't have to do that in Warcaster because of the way the fucking game works, right? It's like, you basically, like, even in general Spence, like, the movement is easy, the way it goes, flows is quite nice.
And you get to try out every model type, whereas in, like, teaching War Machine games, you have to build into each, explain how they work differently than the last ones, and, like, the first one you start with is literally a caster and jacks, and ignores solos and units altogether.
Yeah. Whereas this one is just like, all right.
It has everything, except for just, vehicles, but,
yeah,
like,
and,
that's fine.
Yeah, and it's just like, you've got things like...
You got your meat and potatoes.
Yeah. The way that you've got weavers, the way I thought that weavers were going to be just like they're just the gimmick part. And then I'm like, actually, they're really cool because they're also your comeback mechanic. The fact that, well, you know, you've just lost 5 arc off the table. It's in your well. I guess I better give it out to you in the form of a nuke to the face.
Yeah. But they're doing a really good job. Like, and I think just to sort of wrap up and close this one out is this, like, I've got massive positive feelings coming out of this.
Yeah.
Keynote.
I'm super hyped.
Really, like, well done to Privateer on a really good
keynote.
And I think maybe a little bit more understated than they've gone for other years and actually wound up coming out.
I think that's actually true, yeah. Like, the fact that it was literally just, like, two people in a room shit-talking and, like, doing these things, right?
Yeah.
So it was less like Hungerford, like, yelling in front of a crowd about, like, what someone does. Like, could you? I don't think you could do the RideQuest keynote as it was in front of a full crowd. Like,
yeah,
basically, someone would just, like, you know, it's just too much interference, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it just ended up working out
really well.
Quite a bit better.
Hungerford and Schoonover, like, really, really good moderators for that. Like, just overall, well done, PP.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, like, we all actually inadvertently and accidentally stayed up for the keynote, and, you know, despite the fact we probably should be feeling miserable right now.
I feel awesome. Still hyped.
You guys want to go play some RideQuest?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
yeah.
See you later, guys.
See you, guys.
Right, see ya.
Bye.